Tonight, all New York salutes Dr. Martin Luther King. The program is now in progress, and Vice President-elect Hilbert Humphrey is speaking at this moment. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King is the Nobel Peace Prize winner for 1964. And this salute is a culmination of many years of sacrifice and conflicting turmoil. It was Dr. King who 9 years ago this month that led the gallant group of Montgomery, Alabama Negroes in their bus boycott in which they were triumphant. Now we take you to the podium and the Vice President-elect Hubert Humphrey doing the speaking.
Yes, Southern in background, but American to the core, has carried on. And he carried on the cause and brought to final enactment a great bill, a strong bill. And not only did he, with infinite skill and dedication and patience, secure a congressional enactment of this charter of hope and charter of freedom, but he then went before the American people and he fought in the North, the South, and the East, and the West for this charter of freedom. Thank goodness, because there are men, regardless of party, men as the governor of this state, mayor of this city, the president of the United States, because of this, that little handful of those who are unwilling to realize that a new day has dawned, that little handful is no longer a meaningful power in the American community. Yes, Dr. King, you've led the legions of decency in this country. And today, you, with your leadership, men in public life, men in private life, people of all races, creeds, and nationalities, we have put into retreat those who still advocate racism, and they are clearly the rear guard of a defeated past. Oh, I was moved, as I'm sure all of you were, by the address of our honored guest this evening at Oslo, when he spoke to the students at Oslo, Norway. May I say, Dr. King, you were in the native country of my mother, who was born only a few miles from Oslo. Dr. King spoke of the role that nonviolence has played in the struggle for human rights in the United States. And he used a striking formulation. By the way, what a magnificent orator and speaker we have in this leader. Listen to these piercing and profound words. Doctor, I take them from your text. We adopt the means of nonviolence because our end is a community at peace with itself. A community at peace with itself. Could anyone have put more clearly and succinctly the objective of a free and democratic society than in those words, a community at peace with itself? Long ago in 1948, at least it seems rather long ago, when I was privileged to introduce the civil rights plank at a party convention, the Democratic Convention, a fellow delegate said these words to me, and they remained in my memory. He said, "Why are you mixed up in this, Mayor Humphrey?" I was then the mayor of Minneapolis. "You have no Negroes to speak of in Minnesota. You don't owe them anything. What are you getting involved for?" And I told him then, and I say to you 16 years later, that I got mixed up in the civil rights movement because I wanted to be able to look at myself in my own eyes. I wanted to be at peace. I wanted to be at peace with myself and my conscience and my God. Yes, some fanatics always exist in any group that is discriminated against, who urge violence as the road to instant liberation. But thank goodness the American Negro has been far too intelligent to adopt those counsels of violence and despair. Would that all of us had the same patience and, may I say, the same commitment to freedom and nonviolence. These people have never confused the United States with all of its admitted failures. In the area of race relations, they have never confused this beloved America with a police state. Instead, they have adopted the position set forth by Dr. King in accepting the Nobel Peace Prize, that civilization and violence are antithetical concepts. And Negroes of the United States have demonstrated that nonviolence is not sterile passivity, but a powerful moral force which makes for social transformation. So said Dr. King. And in this spirit, and with the magnificent Christian witness of Dr. King as the focus for their quiet courage, the Negroes of Montgomery issued their great challenge to the conscience of the American people. And to their eternal credit, the American people, slowly at first, but with growing force and determination, have responded with decency and with justice for all. For the truth of the matter is, when the dignity of one American is denied, all of us have been denied. And in this torturous journey that you have told us about, Dr. King, the dignity of all Americans has been and still is at stake in your pilgrimage. And only when our Negro citizens have achieved this rightful standing in the American community can any of us truly feel the exhilaration that grows from integrity, from dignity. And then I say, my friends, only then will the United States of America really be a community at peace with itself, which is our wish, our hope, and our prayer. I salute this great American for his deeds.
Right now we're going back into the podium because the National Director of the Congress of Racial Equality is speaking.
North and South stood a little bit taller and spoke to the world with much greater pride than ever before. The honor was his and the honor was yours. The honor belonged to all men and all women and all children who have participated in the revolution which Martin Luther King gave birth to in our country. Had it not been for Montgomery, the civil rights revolution would never have started. Had it not been for Birmingham, the civil rights revolution would never have gained momentum. It spread all over the country. And now, my friends, it is spreading all over the world. Not only has the conscience of America been awakened by this great prophet whom we tonight honor, but the imagination of the entire world has been captured by his eloquence, by his dignity, by his courage, and by his intelligence. My friends, I know Dr. King well enough to know that his receipt of the Nobel Peace Prize will not be considered by him as a reward for the past. It will be considered even more a promise for the future. A promise for the future in that we will not rest. Martin Luther King will not rest. You, black and white Americans who care for dignity and freedom, will not rest until our nation deserves from the peoples of the world a Nobel Peace Prize for freedom.
Now speaking is Mr. Nathan Schroener, the father of one of the kids killed in Mississippi.
Yes, he's saying he's offering us three words, Mr. Schroener.
Wonderful gathering on behalf of Dr. King's wonderful words. And those three words are, we shall overcome.
We have Jimmy Booker of the Amsterdam News. Hey, Jim, what do you think about this tremendous spectacle tonight?
This is a fitting tribute to a fitting champion, and I think one of the things that Harlem is saying here tonight is that we are for Dr. Martin Luther King. King's past visits to Harlem have not always been as warm and as friendly and as sincere as this. He has had problems here. He was once shot in Harlem. He was once egged in Harlem. He was once tomatoes were thrown at him. But tonight, I see here a warm, thrilling overflow of human emotion for a great champion.
Thank you, Jimmy Booker of the Amsterdam News.
We're going back to the podium now, and Roy Wilkin, Executive Secretary of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, will begin speaking.
Martin Luther King and Mrs. King, Governor Rockefeller, distinguished guests, and ladies and gentlemen, you know there was a great deal of talk when this great Nobel Prize was announced for Dr. King about whether it was fitting or not. You know, there's one thing about our white people we can always depend on. They can do more debating about this and that and the other. You know, when we suddenly burst on the horizon and claim something or win something, they have to hold a philosophical discussion as to whether it's right or not. So they were trying to figure out what the Nobel Committee had already figured out, that is, whether the prize belonged to Dr. King for peace. When I grew up in Minnesota, along with Hubert Humphrey, and I consider myself at least one-fourth Scandinavian, Don't you laugh and don't be deceived by skin color. You know, that's what we keep telling you. Don't depend on the skin color. I am about 1/4 Scandinavian. Never mind. Well, anyway, I can tell you that when the Swedes and the Danes and the Norwegians make up their mind, there isn't any use in anybody writing an editorial in the St. Petersburg Times. Of course, all joking aside, of course this prize was for peace, and of course it went to the man who signifies, exemplifies, and lives that struggle for peace is Martin Luther King. And now it's true, of course, that each one of us shares a little in this prize. Everyone who ever struggled for civil rights, everyone who raised his voice, everyone who prayed and sang, every mother who raised her daughter and her sons to be upstanding citizens, every man who got into the fray on the front lines, on the picket lines, in the marches, in the sit-ins, all the complainants and the plaintiffs in the legal suits that were brought to tear down this structure of segregation and discrimination. All these people share with Martin Luther King in the Nobel Prize. And has been said, there is no color line in this army of freedom. White people are fighting for freedom and have been fighting for it. They have shed their blood for us, and we for them. And all the people overseas, cognizant of this struggle, wanted to show that they too were in the fight and how they felt about it. And so they singled out this man who embodies all of our hopes, all of our fears, all of our aspirations. He says the things that we want said, that we can't say for ourselves. And to Martin Luther King, and to the movement behind him, and the people behind that movement, and the hearts that drove the people behind that movement, they gave this great honor. Martin, we salute you. We love you, and we want the world to know that tonight and all the nights hereafter, you are ours, and we are yours. Thank you.
Fellow Americans, the people of the state of New York, Dr. King, people of this country, and those throughout the world who are dedicated to human dignity and freedom, share with this great gathering, this evening here tonight, the honor that is bestowed on Dr. King. A man among men. Whom we can't help but love and respect because of his unique courage. Courage, ladies and gentlemen, in a world torn with hate and fear, courage to love. And ladies and gentlemen, a man who dares to dream. Who's had the dreams of this future, not for any one group, not for any small list of people, but a dream for all Americans to share in the great heritage of this country and share alike. This is the dream that Martin Luther King is helping to make a reality in America. The Nobel Peace Prize is one of the great awards in the history of civilized man. As has been so beautifully said tonight, we share as Americans in this honor bestowed upon him. I would like to add, ladies and gentlemen, that in my opinion, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s receipt of this award has elevated a little higher the meaning of the Nobel Peace Prize. Thank you very much.
It's a great pleasure for me to present to you the dedicated and resourceful executive director of the National Urban League, my good friend Whitney Young, Jr.
Mr. Philip Randolph, Dr. Martin Luther King and his wife, Governor Rockefeller, ladies and gentlemen, as one who administers an organization that daily is called upon to place qualified Negro workers in jobs, and who all too often is told that they've got to be better than the average. In fact, the word usually comes that, please send us a secretary who types 120 words a minute and who looks like Lena Horne. And please send us an accountant who has a background of a Ralph Bunch. And so it was with the Nobel Peace Prize. We had to do better than the ordinary, and we did it. Dr. King, the philosopher who has used peaceful techniques of civil disobedience to infuse democracy from Yale to jail. To those of Mississippi or Alabama who would say, let us keep quiet about our injustices to man, the Nobel Peace Committee has said, you can never keep injustice quiet to the world. I was taught as a young man from the hills of Kentucky, or at least my father before me was taught even better, to sing, I'm coming, for my head is bending low, my name is Old Black Joe. But Dr. King, like my generation, has been taught a different song, and so now we sing it, I'm a coming, but my head ain't bending low. I'm standing tall, I'm walking straight, I'm the new Black Joe. May I therefore join on behalf of the National Urban League, its 70 affiliates, and particularly the New York Urban League affiliate headed by Mr. Alexander Allen, in paying tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King for what he has done for us, a well-deserved tribute to a leader so noble and so great. Thank you very much.
Happy to come tonight, Ruby Dee and myself, representing in our own humble way the sentiments, the good wishes, the feeling of thanksgiving that we feel in the artistic community, that one of our own has set us an even higher example to follow. Tonight, my friends, I find in being black a thing of beauty, a joy, a strength, a secret cup of gladness, a native land in neither time nor place, a native land in every Negro face. Accept in full the sweetness of your blackness, not wishing to be red or white or yellow or any other race or face, but this. Thank you, and now the other and better half of the team, Ruby Dee.
Ladies and gentlemen, the philosophy of nonviolence as expounded by Dr. King is embraced, I'm sure, by all of us here tonight. A little poem comes to mind now, which I'd like to share with you. He drew a circle to shut me out. Rebel, heretic, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. Thank you.
Tonight we salute more than a man, a people, a nation, but we salute a cause. Tonight, as we salute Dr. King, we're saluting more than 20 million citizens who are still struggling for complete social, economic, and political equality. As we salute Dr. King, we are saluting hundreds and thousands of young Negro students who left their college campus in 1960 to end segregation with peaceful means at lunch counters and restaurants. We salute Dr. King, we are paying tribute to the young people of Birmingham, Alabama, who faced police doors, water hoses, and jail by the thousands in their great strive toward freedom. As we salute Dr. King, we are paying tribute to the many brave and courageous young people, both black and white, who went into Mississippi this summer with only their minds and bodies to quicken the day of political freedom in that state. As we salute Dr. King tonight, we are paying tribute to more than 450,000 black citizens of Mississippi who are struggling for the right to vote, the right to have some control over their political destiny. At the final meeting of our own organization in April of 1960, it was Dr. King who said, "Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We will meet your physical force with soul force. You may bomb our home and spit on our children, and we will still love you. But be assured that we will wear you down with our capacity to suffer." In recognition of Dr. King's commitment to the philosophy of nonviolence and love, his courageous leadership, and the contribution he had made to the cause of world peace and brotherhood, the Nobel Peace Prize Committee had no choice but to select Dr. King for such an honor. We of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee salute a philosopher, salute a leader, and a real friend, Dr. King.
The dedication and faithfulness of Dr. Martin Luther King is nowhere more fully revealed than in the manner in which he has repeatedly faced without fear every manner of harassment and indignity. He has brought these same qualities to his stewardship of the financial contributions entrusted to his care. From the early days of the Montgomery bus boycott, those of us who have been closest to him have been deeply impressed with his eternal vigilance in these regards. Not only does he raise over $300,000 a year for our great movement by tirelessly traveling from city to city across this land, but he has, I know, kept his pledge that none of these funds shall be used for himself or his family, as the dark forces of Mississippi and Alabama would have the gullible and the detractors believe. Now, Dr. King carries the same spirit of good stewardship in a movement-wide responsibility, for today he announced that the $54,000 he personally received, and which he could have kept for himself and his family, and many men would have done so, will be donated to the whole civil rights movement. He has, with great thoughtfulness and great wisdom, decided to divide the prize money in the following manner. 17,000 will be given to the civil rights organizations which comprise the Unity Council. These include CORE, NAACP, NAACP Legal Defense Fund, National Council of Negro Women, National Urban League, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. The amount to be given each organization will be determined by the Unity Council, with the further stipulation that Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which is also a member, be excluded. 2,000 will be given to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the organization of which he is president. 3, the largest portion, the balance of approximately 25,000, will be placed in a special fund to be devoted to furtherance of education in the realm of nonviolence.
Martin Luther King, the committee planning tonight felt that we wanted to give to you a token of our love and appreciation. And we have chosen as our symbol the work of a great sculptor. It is known to all of us as the Praying Hand. We want you, Martin Luther King, to take these as a tiny expression of our love and appreciation. And on behalf of all of us here, I have the pleasure to present this, which says, presented to Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., 1964 Nobel Peace Prize winner.